There have been covenants established between God and humankind throughout time, but each, after initial enthusiasm, have proven impossible to uphold. They begin in a garden, followed by Abraham, who was given by God to his descendants the whole land of Cana. Circumcision is evidence of one's subscription to that covenant. On Mount Sinai, the law is ratified. Perhaps you've noticed images portraying Moses coming off the mountain holding two tablets, 1 to 5 on his left and 6 to 10 in his right arm. But let me paint another image. How about all the commandments written on both tablets? Here's a copy for humanity, and here's the copy God retains. Nonetheless, a new covenant again becomes necessary. The same parties are contracted, but the location where this covenant resides is a world away. This covenant leaves no marks or scars, no tablets of stone, and no rainbow behind, but instead is imprinted upon people's hearts. Truly, ours is a relentless God who comes to us when we cannot go to him. Who else would contract with such a fickle partner? The Son of Man then arrives at the pivotal hour. And yes, Jesus, our grain of wheat, is spared not even death. Our Lord's physical suffering and death is yet another demonstration of God's relentless pursuit of a partner. Crowds are gathering in Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. They've come from all directions, and Jesus is among them. Carnival-like atmosphere and anticipation fills the air. And then Jesus speaks of his own death, linking death with glory, or should we say humility with exaltation. These pages of John's gospel flow into what is known as the Book of Glory. To be glorified is in some sense to be extracted from ordinary and raised to a more befitting dignity. Still, it's difficult to see much glory at this juncture in the gospel. We know in the coming days, Jesus will suffer a brutal death, one that will look more like a failure than anything glorious. And then heaven's voice is again heard by the many gathered, its tones ringing in harmony with the words spoken when Jesus himself emerges baptized from the Jordan. We have all been spoken into being from that same voice of the Creator. And Jesus is God and needs no glory. But this voice is spoken that humankind might come to ways of coupling their hearts to Jesus's. Mother Church ignites those hearts from the Paschal torch with each baptism she confers. The candle is given prominence when welcoming new members into the body of Christ. And Holy Mother Church places it again near a white garment or blanket, we call a pall before returning our bodies to earth and our souls to Creator. Through liturgy, the faithful are taught physical mortality is but one phase of eternal life. Truly, our brother Jesus does glorify his Father and our Father as he himself is raised upon the cross. And yes, the Father, as always, is well pleased. The humility of this, our Almighty God. In death, the body is as helpless as it is in the womb. Christian death is then never very far from life. They are intrinsically related. This much nature itself teaches. The gospel metaphor presents a grain of wheat necessarily dying. Only by giving way in death does this single seed produce future life. We know this well, as soon across Alberta, vast fields of wheat, canola, and other cereal crops will begin to bloom, if it ever stops snowing. Nonetheless, its dazzling beauty fills us with hope for a bountiful harvest. But first, each and every tiny seed must die and be covered with earth. Jesus speaks now publicly of his impending death. With death all around us, talk of our own death in this culture is sometimes pushed aside. We have sensationalized, sterilized, dramatized, and professionalized public discussion around death. We don't even like to hear the word. Frightened, some people choose to stay away from the church, unable to come to terms with the beauty of a death in Christ. On Monday, this coming week, we will celebrate the Feast of St. Joseph, patron of Canada and patron saint of a happy death. The death of a believer, friends, is indeed a beautiful moment, although I'm not suggesting in any way it is easy or painless. It is anything but, and Jesus knows this very well as well. But Lent, friends, is a time when believers strive to become more pleasing to God, humbly, self-emptying, through kenosis and dropping off ugly baggage in the reconciliation depot, coming to these tables of word and Eucharist with deeper devotion, signing ourselves in memory of our baptism, fulfilling the terms of covenant we have made in baptism, confirmation, marriage, and holy orders. Jesus' suffering and crucifixion, we grow to understand, expects we too will die to self that we might live for others. But in fact, any seed left in the barn we know produces nothing. Come out of the barn then and sow the seeds of baptism planted in your hearts throughout your marriages, single state, families, this community, and to the ends of the earth.